first comeback win for Neil Harris's Cambridge United since Shrewsbury at home last Boxing Day. A tangerine dream for Cambridge at the Abbey Stadium. Is it new manager bounce, or is it something a little bit more substantial? Welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. My name is Matt Caspel. I'm hosting you today, joined by, as always, an all-star panel, the kind of panel you would expect from a twice award-nominated podcast. Two men who are looking in very good shape today, I would say, after celebrating the win yesterday. And I assume once I left the pub at about 6:30, probably carried on for what I would say looks like quite a long time. First up, Tom Walker, you impressed us yesterday once again with your incredibly fast ability to answer the question, when did we last win three penalties in a row? I think you answered it within 20 seconds, I'll say, maybe 10. Very impressive, mate.
Yeah. I think there is a sense that getting something like that right so quickly is impressive. But then you start to wonder what it says about you personally, to be honest. Yeah, three penalties in a row. I think
tell everyone. No one else on earth actually knew the answer or will remember. So
yeah, it was 2014, the back end of that promotion year. It was Macclesfield, Barnet, and Southport.
Of course. That's what we all said. We're like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I think what is maybe more impressive or worrying is the context how that came about and the length of time between being asked the question and saying it. I think it was about 10 seconds flat. And it sort of surprised myself, but also quite concerned myself about why I know that sort of stuff and not anything more useful, to be honest. But
yeah, you initially seemed quite pleased with yourself, and then I think there was a real like moment of realization. We were all just staring at each other and wondering what the hell was going on. Anyway, our next panelist today is a man who wake up with a very severe headache today, but not because of the exertions of yesterday, and simply because at about 1 p.m. yesterday at the Kingston Arms, he walked directly into a wooden beam, despite it being directly in front of him. It did come out of nowhere, to be fair. Jack Swindlehurst.
Yep. Yeah. Throbbing head this morning for different reasons than normal. But yeah, still able to string a sentence together just about. So yeah, give you that cutting analysis that I know I can bring.
That's it, mate. Well, it's great to have you here. Where else to start in a very mild December that we're having with Tom Walker, your hot takes on the game. A really, I thought, quite a pleasing performance against a team that you have to assume is going to be up in and around the playoffs, definitely. Yeah, what was your take on the game?
Yeah, I think it was kind of quite a follow-on from Saturday at Charlton, I think. And I don't think we've kind of reinvented the wheel in the last 2 weeks since Harris came in. I think that's fair to say. You know, it obviously looks similar in terms of shape and who's playing and things like that, but I think what's noticeable is that we're just getting an extra sort of 10%, an extra 20% in terms of energy, in terms of work rate, and fundamentally quality and sort of results as well. And obviously, naturally, that will lead to the question of where this was in months gone by. But, you can kind of leave that at the door and say just it's credit to obviously Harris coming, being able to get that out of him straight away. And big players who maybe weren't performing are now performing, which, let's be honest, we're not absolutely sure exactly why that is, but, you know, you can only assume that Harris had some, you know, some sort of influence in that. But yeah, it was a graft, wasn't it? It wasn't the prettiest, but it wasn't like total football, but, job done. And, particularly in that sort of last, was sort of 10, 15 minute period at stoppage time after Thigpen got sent off. It was not a pleasant watch, but yeah, they put their limbs on the line, and well rewarded. I think it's a really good result. And, you know, I know that maybe their fans won't have thought so from the game, but I think Blackpool are a really decent team. So I think it's, a good statement for us to come off the back of an away trip to Charlton and, you know, playing against a team like Blackpool, probably fancy themselves around the top six with 4 points, which is more than I would have expected, and probably more than a lot of people would have expected as well, right? So, yeah, it's good stuff. I don't have anything in the way of a really overriding searing take for you, Casper, unfortunately. But
it's a shame.
I will say that it was it's the sort of performance I think we've kind of needed to see, really. We've talked a lot since Posh, particularly, and probably Northampton as well, about, you know, the word reaction. And while I don't think this is a new manager bounce in the sense that you get them sometimes where there's kind of a weight off the shoulders sort of thing because they've stopped playing for a former coach, whatever it is, I think we're seeing the reaction that we should have seen sort of following that. And it's just in terms of just stepping up a little bit, giving it a little bit extra. And it's encouraging.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. And I think I agree with what you're saying as well. It doesn't feel to me like we've fundamentally changed in a big way the way we're approaching the games and the way we're setting up. I think the big difference for me, it just feels like everything's happening a little bit higher up the pitch. And to be honest, I think everything's happening a bit faster. It just felt like we're being, Neil Harris is setting them up just to move the ball a bit quicker, get it forward a bit faster. It's a little bit more, I guess we're being generous or cliche, you call it pragmatic football. It feels a bit more sort of direct, but he's getting a bit more use out of the wingers. I know we'll come on to individual performances in a bit. Swindle, obviously our first win since Carlisle in October in the league, and our first win against 11 men since September the 4th, which is the Reading game. Quite a few little hoodoos that we're breaking here in terms of coming back from behind at Charlton and then obviously coming from behind again yesterday and just getting a home win, to be honest, and scoring twice in the first half. It's the first time we've done it since the first day of the season. I guess how important are 3 points is that going into a busy period, and how pleasing is it that the team is showing, like, I guess, a bit of resolve, a bit of backbone, is showing that we could go behind in a game and it's not necessarily curtains.
I think you can't kind of overdo yesterday, but I think it was really, really important. And that gap of 8 points now down to the relegation zone is huge for us. And I think, we have to learn from the lessons of last season and looking at how we were in December and how poorly the season went from the turn of the year, and wanting to learn from that. And obviously the club have been proactive in doing that. We've got rid of Bonner and that'll be talked about until the cows come home. But I think, it's just a bit refreshing. I think the word backbone is the word that I took from yesterday. We've seen games at home this season against the likes of Stevenage and Shrewsbury where we just didn't have much resolve. And, we gave results away, really. Whereas yesterday it was quite the opposite. We played a very good team yesterday. I think Blackpool looked pretty good, even in defeat yesterday. I think that Dembele, for example, is a player that's kind of a cut above, really. It was a pleasure to see them play. But yeah, United, just with a bit of kind of game savviness, which it looked like they kind of didn't have for a lot of this season. And yeah, they just played it very, very well yesterday. I think Digby can argue that he feel a bit hard done by near the end there, but actually, you've got to be careful, and maybe lost his head a little bit doing what he was doing there. But anyway, I think generally really well managed game by the players and by Harris, I suppose, yesterday. So it's certainly been a good start, but we all know what happens with the new manager bounce. So it's about pushing on for Neil Harris and the team now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Tom, 8 goals in our last 3 games. This feels a little bit alien. This didn't feel really possible a few weeks ago at full time against Lincoln. Would feel like it might take us maybe the rest of the season to score 8 goals. I guess how enjoyable is it? It's just good to have goals back at the Abbey, right? And something to actually get excited about.
Yeah, I think particularly where they're coming from as well, in terms of personnel. And we spoke last week after Charlton about, what impact is missing Fajiri going to have on this team. And, I think naturally, if you'd had this discussion in September and you'd said Fajiri's not going to be in the team, or he's going to be out for an extended period, I think you'd have been like where are goals going to come from, basically, because it was sort of him or bust, I think, at that time. But obviously Hadme, again, hitting a little bit of form, and he put in like a hell of a shift. Like, he looked absolutely, for want of a better word, gassed out.
Hey.
By full time. But obviously another penalty that I think if there were people who were not convinced with how his penalty was taken at Charlton, maybe also won't be as convinced by how it was taken against Blackpool. But
it looked a bit weird, didn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't kind of work
like
it out.
A bit like he scuffed it. Do you remember the Nibblers penalty at Brentford in the end of the shootout, where they kind of like sort of almost hit the instep, but quite far towards the heel, like into the ground? It might have been intentional. I don't know. If it was intentional, that's great.
Yeah, I was kind of happy to give him the benefit of the doubt on that, because it didn't look like he'd scuffed it, but it looked like he'd purposely kicked it quite strangely. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. Maybe it was just a lucky break that it ended up going to the bottom corner. But yes, it's obviously good that he's sort of back in amongst it. And you know, obviously for Kachunga, I think he's probably been you know, the standout since probably the decision was made that Bonner would leave.
100%.
You know, I know we had a question later on about, you know, he's obviously a player who's not necessarily been available for the whole season. So actually having him available more than anything might have had a bit of an impact on the team. But he's one of those, you know, that we talk about that we believe has more than enough quality, you know, to kind of deliver. And we've just not really seen it. And that's, you know, obviously a shame, but, you know, he's kind of stepping up to it now. And I think he's been, you know, he obviously got man of the match, you know, officially against Blackpool. I know there's a lot of other shouts for it, but yeah, like you say, 8 goals and, you know, again, I know it's a little bit cliche, but you know, if you look back to sort of how it was against Posh and against Northampton, against Lincoln, like you genuinely didn't really know what a Cambridge United goal was even going to look like. And now you kind of have the sense that even if you go behind in games, you know, there's always a chance we can get back into it through that. And I think that's been probably the most pleasing thing, you know, about the last couple of games. So I think if we're really being honest, like if Blackpool got an equaliser or even had, you know, beaten us yesterday, but we'd shown the same sort of fight and the same sort of ability to, you know, try and change things, we probably would be semi happy with that. I think
I'd agree with that. Yeah. I think you'd be okay with it, right? Because the performance was good. Blackpool took the lead. We in that circumstance would have come back into the game, and then they maybe peg us back. I think we did a really good job of containing them. To be honest, I guess I agree with what you said earlier. It wasn't the most electric football match that I've seen, should we say? Yeah. But if we're winning the game, and I'm okay for the games to kind of sag out, if that makes sense. If we're leading, then I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it goes a bit away from the sort of goal scoring point, but I think it's worth saying, so on the performance itself and you know, on the way the match went, I think that is kind of the win that I'd wanted to see. In many ways, like if you look at the win against Fleetwood, right, you know, obviously we blow them away, we attack really well, and it's quite a comfortable game. But I think actually the thing that I'd be maybe not seeing enough of in weeks gone by, leading up to obviously making the change, is basically that sort of last 10 minutes where it's just like it's sitting gritty. It's all the sort of intangibles that we've talked about, things like application and desire and work rate. I'm not really sure we can sit here and measure, but they need to be there, you know, to have that sort of result. And, you know, that's obviously what we had yesterday and obviously at Charlton, you know, for want of a better phrase, the willingness to roll the sleeves up when it gets a little bit nasty, should we say. But yeah, it's I think on all fronts looking a lot more encouraging, and that's, you know, fundamentally why we've made the change. It's good to see that even very early days it is hopefully starting to repay.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Swindle, I said before we started recording, I was going to try and minimise the amount of time we spent talking about Mark Bonner. And I don't know that this is necessarily about Bonner, but Stuart tweeted us and asked, how much do you think that Mark Bonner may be regretting the fact we were missing Jordan Cousins and Elias Kachunga for most of that poor run of form? I guess if you want to steer it away from Bonner a little bit, then how important do you think those two are? I mean, I think when I look at these guys, we're talking about players with a really high football IQ. Kachunga, just his intelligence is just on another planet, right? Is that a fair assessment, do you think? I mean, if you look at the team that started against Lincoln, it's Bonner's last game. He brought Okadina in, Cousins was back, and Kachunga played. Has he been a little bit unlucky, do you think, Bonner? Go for it.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's been unlucky. I think, you know, he was given the credit where it was due, and he saved us last season, or, you know, circumstance did. And then, you know, he's done really well with United, but the time was right. And I don't think, you know, I'm sure he's got loads of regrets, and, you know, but he wasn't getting the best out of players either. You know, we've seen players playing a lot better now that Bonner's gone, and it's a real shame that managers have to go, but, you know, it's a cyclical kind of thing, and the time was absolutely right. But I think you're bang on. I mean, Kachunga, there's a reason why he's got Premier League experiences, you know, appearances. He's just, yeah, literally another level, and it really does lift the players around him as well. I think he gets the best out of other players around him. I think Cousins is good. I think we need to see more of Cousins. I mean, I would love to see more of Cousins, and he's just, yeah, they're both so able, and it's that part of the pitch where it's crucial to have, you know, real good ball playing quality in there. Like, you can have a big lump at centre back, and you can arguably stick a big lump up top, but in the middle of the park, that's really where you need, you know, a bit of impetus and a bit of drive. And it's just great to see. And I'm sure Bonner is really regretful of not having those two available to him more. But that's what happens when you're a football manager and you have to deal with the cards that you dealt. And sadly, the time is right. But we will talk about Bonner with great fondness whenever we're asked about him. But I think that's kind of an honest assessment. And I think, yeah, he was unlucky that the team weren't good enough and he couldn't get the best out of them.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well. Walker, you mentioned there a few man of the match contenders. Without wanting to necessarily name all the players, albeit I thought it was a pretty good all round performance. You say Kachunga did get the nod for man of the match, but there were quite a few other contenders, I guess. James Brophy looked, I thought, absolutely brilliant. I actually compared him to Wes on one of the group chats, which probably also demonstrates how many beers that I had yesterday myself. Djibril Okadine had been really impressive. And I thought Stevens in goal also looked really capable yesterday. So, I mean, pick through it. Who was your man of the match? Who deserves honourable mentions?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think you've already done most of my job for me there, because there, I think if you're asking me, you know, people who were the standouts, I think it probably would be those four for me. Even though, you know, obviously a handful of other quite decent performances. I think Brophy's the one that needs like discussion, because yeah, I think that's probably his best performance for us. To be honest, like, it was quite a versatile performance as well. Like, I think in the first half, and so earlier on in the game, he showed a lot of what we want to see in terms of, you know, his ball carrying, and obviously these are things that we believe are good. And obviously he plays his part in the first goal as well. And you know, and then obviously as the game sort of progresses, particularly as, you know, you feel like you're sort of a bit patched up, you know, if the shape changes when Rossi comes on, and obviously down to 10 men, and you need someone to fill in a gap and fill in a hole. And he did that ever so well, you know, on that left-hand side. And, you know, we're not just talking about his ball carrying now, it's about he put in two or three absolutely brilliant tackles as well to win the ball back for us, which is, you know, let's be honest, not something you'd always associate with James Brophy. And, you know, why should it be? It's not the position that he plays in, but, you know, really important and sort of, you know, epitomised a lot of what I liked so much about the performance and about the win, which was just, you know, the work rate. And again, to go back to these intangibles, I think Stevens was the other one that, you know, I thought came out with real credit. And I think it took him a little while to get to grips with the conditions from, you know, for his distribution. You know, a few of those sort of early kicks seems to got sort of sail straight out of play, and, you know, he got used to that. But there were a couple of moments where he made like really proactive decisions to like come for balls and do things that look a little bit kind of, oh, like, what's he doing there? Like, he came out, I think he headed the ball away almost like sort of diving ahead in the first half, and he came out of his box as well in the second half as well a couple of times. And that's obviously really kind of brave goalkeeping. And I think he was a really steady hand in there as well as making two or three really good saves. So he comes out with credit. And, you know, Okadine is the other one. Like, there's been, you know, I think fair enough, like, people was a little surprised not to see Ryan Bennett come back into the team. Obviously, he wasn't in the squad. You know, probably missed out with, basically he's not fit enough. But, you know, you need him to stand up and sort of be counted there. And I think, although there were maybe a couple of moments where it was a little bit dicey, I think for the most part, he was really good, really calm, really collected. And, you know, he's probably unlikely to have a much harder afternoon at the office than facing Jordan Rhodes. I think it's probably not a stretch to say he's the best striker in the league by some way. He's the one with like the pedigree, and he's the one with, you know, the ability crucially to really cause problems for someone like that. And we know, you know, if we go back a couple of years, it was that kind of wily old forward that he used to struggle against a bit more. So I think it's a sign of how far he's come. But yeah, a few really good performances, and, you know, maybe doing a disservice to a few of the other guys, because there are a few others that play well as well, I thought. But I think, like I say, Castle, I think you picked out the main four there.
Yeah, I think that's, it's nice to leave a game and it's not be evidently clear to everyone who our man of the match was, or even to have a debate around who the man of the match might be. I thought Brophy was brilliant. I was really raving about him, honestly. I mean, everything that you mentioned there, but also he's somehow not got an assist out of this football match. I don't really understand how that's possible, and it all needs a bit of looking at, right? Obviously, Gassan gets the assist for your first goal. We'll say no more about that, I think. Swindle, no wins for any of the seven teams that sit below us in the league table. I worked out very hastily before we jumped on. That's a nice 8-point cushion, as someone mentioned earlier. Do you think it's reasonable? You still need to be looking down. We got 24 points now. You'd say we're roughly halfway to the points total we need. Down, up, playoffs, relegation, sideways, mid-table. What do you think?
I think we need to take it a game at a time. We know we've been here before, and you know we've been clearer of the relegation zone and closer to it. And I think, yeah, it's just about game by game at the moment. It's just so refreshing because, you know, a month ago it was looking really kind of doom and gloom and steady decline. And just it all goes back to that conversation about backbone. It's great to look at the table, but it's just nice to see a performance from your team that like looks like they've really put a shift in. They've really cared about it. They've done it, you know, for themselves and for the fans. And yeah, 8 points is a really good cushion, but you know, it's one of those where it can switch quite quickly. And with fixtures being as thick and fast as they are in December, you know, Friday, Tuesday, to finish off the fixtures for the year. So that could look very different by that point. But yeah, if Harris can keep this momentum going over the festive period, this could definitely, you know, be the run that keeps us up. And yeah, it's looking good. It's just nice to look at the table and see, you know, a W next to United's name, which it feels like it's been a while. And teams around us, you know, you've got to look at Exeter, who are kind of in pretty steady decline at the moment. So yeah, we should be looking at that game as an opportunity to get another 3 points, I think.
Yeah, we'll definitely be previewing that one later on next week. We're reaching that point of the year now where I don't know what day of the week it is anymore. We're definitely entering that territory.
That's on a bingo card. That's what we're here. It's Christmas time now, mate.
That's it.
I don't know what day of the week it is.
I said yesterday in the pub, more pods than an espresso machine for us in the next few weeks, I think. Yeah, lots of games, lots of action.
Oh, we're
coming
out with some great lines now. That's good stuff.
We thought that was brilliant yesterday. I don't know how. Don't know how that plays. Oh well, it's in the books now. Another goal for Elias Kachunga, Tom. He took his finish quite well. He seems to have a bit of a habit of being in the right place at the right time. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it's great to see. And look, I think it's fair to say he's not always been a player who's, you know, been a prolific goal scorer, I think, at any level that he's played at. So, you know, a lot of his game, I think, is about what he brings to the rest of the team. But I think he just looks so much better just playing off a Hadme or playing off, you know, the striker in this instance. And you know what? Like, the goal itself is really good. I think, to be honest, I think on both of them in different ways, I think we're a little bit fortuitous that the ref's not or officials have not done something different there. Because I think there is a very good shout of a foul in the build-up to it by Okadina on one of their players, which sort of leads to us getting the ball and being able to break away. But you know, I think it's fair to say that like we get the ball forward much quicker than we have done in months gone by, and that goal is kind of like a shining example of it. Like, it's back to front in about 5 seconds, and then obviously it's just about getting the right ball in, which does come in. And if Kachunga wasn't in the right place at the right time, we might be looking at Hadme thinking, you have to do better there, because his touch was not ideal. But look, he manages to rectify it and get it over to Kachunga, and it's a pretty straightforward finish. But yeah, a really good kind of breakaway goal. And you know what? If we're going to be successful against teams of Blackpool's stature in this division and where we believe they sort of rank, they're the moments that you need to go for, you right? Like, you need to have that kind of attacking breakaway threat. And I think that is partly what Neil Harris will be thinking in terms of, you know, where can we hurt teams going forward? Like, that's how potentially a Cambridge United goal in that sort of fixture will have to look. And I think what was pleasing about it was that it did just kind of come out of nowhere a little bit. Really just kind of sprung on them. You know, we're 1-0 down at that point, and I think there's a little discontent around the ground about maybe how things are going. You know, Blackpool really had us under the cosh. So just be able to spring like that and you know, fundamentally be clinical enough and obviously our bodies in the right places to get the equaliser was obviously a really important point in the game, and it set us up well to kind of go on.
Yeah, and to give Gassan a bit of credit, I guess. I mean, obviously, first he was in the right place, I guess, which you can say, but also he set that move. So once he picked up the ball, it was him who set Brophy away down the left. It's actually really well-placed, paced, well-distributed ball out wide, if that makes sense. So I think he gets enough credit for being around the box. But yeah, I'd agree. It's a bit of a head-in-hands moment. You never really, from the Newmarket Road, and quite know what's going on down the other end anyway, but it all looks a bit messy.
Can we also just rewind it just a little bit back before our equaliser and just have at least a little mention of how terrible the defending was for the Blackpool's goal?
Oh, it was atrocious, yeah. I was just going to gloss over it. This is like a sort of North Korea approach to, we just don't talk about the opposition goals because they just didn't happen in my book. It wasn't
Utah's
good, was it?
Utah's famously not a democracy.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not. All right then, Tom, talk to me about their goal. What was so bad about it?
You know what, right? We have seen some poor defending at times this season, but I always think that goals conceded from set pieces just look worse because you feel like that should be an area of the game that you just don't get wrong at all.
You don't have to mark Jordan Rose though, do you?
No, yeah. I mean, that, you know what I was really frustrated about that, right, was, you know, sometimes when like opposition teams like lined up for a set piece, and there's like a bunch of players that are unmarked at the back post. You know, I'll be right. Like they'll get to them. Like they'll get to them. Don't worry. Like the sort of marking will just sort itself out, and people will take their positions naturally. And like, I just kept expecting it to happen. I was like, surely they're going to mark him at some point. It just never happened.
I guess you just think the plan is they're going to make like runs, but it felt to me like they all just stood still. Everyone stood still. It was the most static. It wasn't like a dynamic set piece move header. It was just like he's just standing on his own at the back post, just going to nod it in. Maybe the easiest goal he's going to score this season, I think.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that if we are going to make a habit of leaving players of that quality unmarked at the back post, then we're going to need to be quite good at getting the ball in the back of the net, because sticky one that. But thankfully we can put it behind us.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And Swindle, we spoke about it in brief earlier. I think this is probably one where there's a few different opinions. Very clear that Christmas is coming up. Paul Digby has got himself, I think, a 2-game ban, because I think if you get your second red, even if it's a 2 yellows red, it's 2 games. I thought it was harsh, but I was a tough tackling Dennis Wise annoying centre midfielder type, so I'm always going to land on that side, I think. What did you think, mate?
I actually thought it was not harsh. I think it's a bit silly from
fuck's sake.
I just think he's been playing the game long enough to know that, you know, it's because of the coming in from behind thing. You know, it's always going to bring a reaction from a referee. And I think he probably, you know, he was probably knackered. And yeah, he'll be looking back on it and be annoyed at himself. I don't think we can have too many complaints. I can understand if I was him, I'd be fuming. But equally, you know, that's not how football works. But ultimately, it didn't cost us. I hope this isn't a habit he's going to get into, because he's a very important player for us, and we can't afford to be carrying any players that are that susceptible. But I don't think this is a case of him suddenly, you know, turning into a hothead and, you know, going to be now getting red cards every week. I think it's just, you know, unfortunate, big occasion. And yeah, sadly, he had to go. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how we set up without him. It's a shame, because it's quite a crucial point in the season. And, you know, he's pretty Mr. Reliable, really, for United. So we'll have to cope without him in a couple of fairly big fixtures for us. But hopefully with players who we've got back and a bit of a different setup with Harris, we'll be able to get through it and then welcome him back when he's not banned.
I think it is a good point in terms of his availability as well, because like, that was such an asset of his throughout last season. Like, even if you could, and certainly could have done, question what he was delivering in terms of performances, you know, not always through his own fault. He's been playing out of position, playing loads of games, all this sort of stuff. But he was there and he was available, and he was, you know, his discipline has been excellent, I think, in terms of, having not, you know, picked up too many of these sort of stupid fouls, stupid bookings. And, you know, there's red cards and there's red cards, right? Like the one at Northampton, I think we're well within our rights to absolutely get stuck into him for, because it was just petulant. But, I think you're probably right there, Swindle. I think Neil Harris is maybe a little bit aggrieved, because I think he felt that he'd got the ball. I know it's not as black and white as if you get the ball, it's not a foul, and if you don't, then it is. That's, you know, obviously not how it works. But I think, yeah, it was just a tired challenge, and it was a challenge that needed to be made as well. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you kind of run the risk of that. But yeah, like I said, I think, you know, we mentioned when we were just talking about the first goal there, I think it's kind of one of those kind of swings and roundabout situations, right? Like, I think we got some quite fortuitous decisions that could have gone the other way in terms of our goals, and they get one in terms of the red card. But yeah, thankfully we're able to just to kind of cling on and grind out what was a pretty decent result.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well, I guess. Shame for Paul Digby, shame for us. We'll cover more of that on our preview pod, which will be coming out later this week. A few questions from the mailbag to finish. Obviously, thanks to everyone who sends us our questions on at Abbey Stan Pod. Certainly make this job a little bit easier. It's good to get people involved. We'll do one more Bonner question and then we're going to let it rest, maybe forever, but certainly for this pod. Friend of the pod, James Denton, asks, have these players become good overnight? Are we in a place to admit that Bonner maybe wasn't as good at motivating them as we thought? It's interesting to unpack that point on motivation, I think. Should the blame be on Bonner for not motivating or the players for not being motivated? I appreciate we are probably going to have this kind of question every time we win a football match, I think. Thomas, why don't you unpack it for us?
Yeah, I think this is the natural discussion that's going to happen every time we win. And when we lose, it's going to be, why do we make the change? And that's just going to probably carry on until we have some sort of conclusion about where we're going to finish and whether it was or wasn't the right decision, et cetera, et cetera. I think there's something to be said for this. And we mentioned it in passing after the Charlton game. And I know that there is, you know, still a feeling that, you know, he was let down a bit by some of the players. But I think to put it at the most basic level, right, and this is probably oversimplifying it, and, you know, fair enough, but I think the players that he kind of brought with him, so if you look at, like, Digby, Dunk, some of the guys that left in the summer, you know, Ironsides, etc., like, he had those guys really up and motivated, and he knew how to get the best out of them, and that's basically what got us to this point. But the guys that came in the summer, who were perhaps a bit more established in terms of the level they've played at, the sort of pedigree they come from, in terms of their background, I don't necessarily know if it was a motivation thing, but I just don't think he was or could get the best out of these guys. And, you know, rightly or wrongly, because they're new to the football club, they're probably not as bought into what he's doing as some of those other guys might be, because I don't think that... This might be taking it a step too far, but, you know, I don't think, like, Kachunga is as reliant on a manager as, you know, to get him to this level and get him performing at League One as someone like Joe Ironside would have been, for example. So they're not kind of leaning into it as much. But, you know, I think the fact that, like, there's not been any super noticeable change in terms of the shape or the personnel, but the results are kind of quite wildly different, tells you that the same people are sort of producing more. And I think it's fair to kind of pose a question of why is that? But I think rather than going back to it and thinking, you know, kind of framing the discussion the way that, well, Bonner wasn't getting enough out of him, I think he's probably better now and probably more healthy for at least the sort of short term of the football club to go, well, actually, what is Neil Harris doing right? Rather than what was Bonner doing wrong? Because that's a sort of conversation we can have till the cows come home. But fundamentally, you know, Neil Harris is getting good results out of these guys now, right? And perhaps the whys or the, well, you know, why that is the case maybe aren't so important.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that entirely, to be honest. I think it's spot on. I don't think for me it's a motivation. I think motivation is, like, quite far down on that list of things that were going on. I really feel like the players were still playing for him. And I think
the word motivation as well, like, it's such, like, an intangible and, like, subjective sort of thing. And it's something that, like, we as fans just have no idea about. Like, we don't know how well they were motivated when Bonner was here compared to now, right? Like, they might just be doing things slightly differently. So it's obviously, like, an easy conclusion to draw. But I think obviously we want to try and shy away from it, even though we've, you know, spent a lot of time making the comparison, I guess, for fair reasons. But I just hope it doesn't become like a season of, like, every single week, every single result. It's just like comparing it to what came before. I mean, yeah, it will. Obviously,
it absolutely will, mate. It absolutely will. Maybe when we do next year, the Leighton Orient pod, first one of the next season, was that's it. Never mention him ever again. That's it. Just a moratorium on this question. I think that's fair, because I think, yeah, I can see this one coming back up. If we have a really good run of form, it's going to be this type of question. If we have a poor run of form, it's going to be a different kind of question, I think. So I guess that kind of leads us into the next question for you, Swindle. So from Chris Wood, aka Chesney, what time frame should we be looking at for potential forward momentum under Harris? I'm not going to read the whole question because even Chesney apologized at how long the question was. Do you think Harris's tenure will last that long? It's very hard to answer that one. Do you think we're going to maintain ourselves at this level, regardless of who's in charge? Try and unpack all of that and answer all of those questions in one.
Yeah, it's a tough one to answer, especially as I have no inside knowledge of the football club other than going to the games. I think our aim should be to consolidate League One, like our League One position. And I suppose that's looking maybe closer to like a, you know, a 5-year plan rather than a 3-year. And yeah, trying to kind of consolidate that. And then, of course, look to the playoffs. You always want to improve. And I think we'd need to, you know, get better personnel. But I think that could be coming if we can, you know, become a bit more of a kind of bona fide League One team, then, you know, we'll be attracting more players. You know, financially, I think we're in an okay position and we've got, you know, good prospects, that the new training ground and ground developments and all that kind of stuff. So I think really we should be looking to consolidate our position in League One and then be looking, yeah, naturally towards the playoffs. Whether Neil Harris is going to stay is all just dependent on, you know, the next 20 or so games. Like, I don't think it really matters. You know, if he keeps us up, I imagine he will stay through to next season. I mean, it's a really tough question to answer. And of course, there's many reasons why he might not stay that long. Someone else might come along and offer him more money. We might go on a terrible run and then we might become one of those teams that, you know, hiring and sacking very regularly after having had a manager for so long. But I think he's, you know, he's a manager with experience, some of it good, some of it not so good. And yeah, he's got his first victory in his first home game managing the team. So it's a great start. And yeah, he will have, you know, big aspirations and, you know, with good experience managing at this level, I think that, yeah, he should be, you know, looking to keep us as a League One team this season and, you know, maybe aim for a top half finish if, you know, looking at where we are now, if he wants to get a run going, then who knows?
Swindle, you nailed it. We're definitely hitting the playoffs. I love the optimism. That feels like a suitable place to wrap things up. A few podcasts coming up for us over the next few weeks, obviously with a very busy fixture list. And most excitingly, for a man with Tom Walker's hugely deep Cambridge United knowledge, we have the Under the Abbey Stand Christmas quiz coming soon. Very exciting stuff for you, Tom.
Yeah, should be good. Yeah, look forward to that. And we've not done that for a little while. We did the quiz. I must be 4 or 5 years ago now. I think it's been that we did it ages ago now. But yeah, it was a good laugh for us at least. I'm not sure how much people enjoyed listening to it. Hopefully, it was a fairly decent listen. Yeah, I mean, look, I've really set my stall out early, though, haven't I? In terms of my aspirations for that quiz by plucking out the answer to the when was the last time we had a penalty in 3 consecutive games so quickly. I mean, that's gonna put you guys on the back foot, I think.
Well, basically inspired the fact that I think we've now decided it's gonna be you on a team on your own against everybody else. And I'm still backing you, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it was partly the joy of having just seen us win and partly the arrogance having just come out with such a good answer. But I was also like, yeah, I'll take it all three of you. And also, why don't I just turn up halfway through and see if I can still win?
I think you still have a chance, mate.
Yeah, well, this has got huge flat on my face potential, which has happened before and it'll probably happen again. So something to look forward to for everyone.
Oh, of course. And, you know, recording at 11 a.m. before a 7:45 p.m. kickoff in a pub studio. Might not be the only time you fall flat on your face that day, to be honest. Thomas, thanks.
Our review of the Exeter game could be something special.
It'll be something, mate. I'm sure of it. Thomas, thank you for joining.
Yeah, pleasure as always.
Good man. Jack, good man. Thank you very much.
Cheers.